Welcome to another edition of Win at the Horses, our weekend preview, the summer right here. Joe Kelly, Bill Kelly, father and son doing their thing on the horses right here. And summertime is here. Yesterday was Saratoga opening day. Today, second day, kind of like a Major League Baseball game after the home opener where less fans in the stands and not the most appealing game going on. But hey, horse players, we make do with what's going on. What's been going on, Dad?
No problem.
Yeah. you're managing today with not too many horses in some of these races at Saratoga?
Well, I've done okay. I mean, not great, but I've done okay. It looks like speed's going to be important today.
Right.
And the inside looked like it was okay. You know, so it's pretty good. I would say it's an interesting day.
Yeah, I was there for the first race in the paddock watching the horses get saddled and everything. And it was interesting. The horse which won the number two with Luis Saez and Joe Sharp came into the paddock, was wearing the thin blanket, white blanket over it. So do you have any idea why they do that for horses? I mean,
I think it settles there. Emotionally, It settles them down. It's got nothing to do with heat or warmth. It's
right. Yeah, it was warm. Calm. Yeah. Right.
Calm. Yeah. You tweeted out to watch Luis Saez, and the next moment I see he wins.
Yeah. Well, you know, and he came in second, I think, in another one. So.
Yeah.
He can, by the stats, he can definitely ride with the moisture. So.
Oh, yeah. And he can, look at there's not many riders up there that you have to be concerned with.
Right.
And really, when you think about it, there's not many riders that, other than, let's say, Irad that gets every race gets over bet, you know.
Yeah.
Other than that, I was surprised that Jose has done so well up there in the past.
Yeah, with Linda Rice.
Yeah.
Especially. Yeah.
Yeah. So he, to me, and this is just my own opinion, I like Jose on the grass better than his brother.
Okay.
Irad is really good on dirt, but and you look at his record. I mean, it sounds like a stupid statement because he's been very successful on turf also. But I don't know. It's just a feeling.
Just a gut feeling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Yesterday, the opening day, we were there for most of the card, or you know, the beginning part of the card. But it was great to see Gary Contessa with the major upset in the Schuylerville Stakes debut winner. And he predicted it. Well, he didn't predict the Schuylerville, but he said he was going to win some races on the interview we did with him a few weeks before.
Right,
And we sent out
I got both of them.
Oh, okay.
I got both of them.
Yeah, we sent out the prediction.
I made out on the that one. Race 8. I'll tell you. When you look at the race, the two favorites came in second and third.
Right.
And they were up there, and all of a sudden, this horse came from nowhere.
And started bad out of the gate.
Started bad, was way behind.
Right.
I mean, when I said way, I mean, I don't remember exactly the distance, but he was in last. And then he just stormed down the open. And I heard Contessa's interview saying that he told the owner, let's go in this race, even though it was a maiden or a first-time starter.
Right.
Let's go in this race because if it was a maiden race, I wouldn't be afraid of any of these horses. So, you know. So
when we did the interview at the Oklahoma training track, he said, before he said, can we hold on a second? I've got to try to find one of my horses who kind of acted up on the turf track, and he was calling an assistant. And I don't know if this was Becky's joker, but you know, one of his horses, he's got 15 up there, and you know, we got to give it up. I want to give it up to Carlos Lopez, the one of the exercise riders with Gary Contessa. Real nice guy. He's been doing it for 35 years, and I'm sure had his hands in the success of yesterday at the Schuylerville. So Gary and the team, congratulations.
Yes, very good. Very good.
So we got to get into some stake races tomorrow at Belmont. We'll be there checking out the latter part of the card tomorrow in person. But we start off tomorrow, Saturday, at Saratoga with the, I believe it's the fourth race, the Chad Brown Invitational, right? No, actually, it's the Diana Stakes. But yeah, I think it's what, four out of six horses?
Four out of five.
Yeah,
and you can imagine the paddock conversation. Hey, listen, guys, no one presses in Italian.
right. Now, who owns in Italian? I don't know. I
hang on.
Yeah, I don't have that pulled up here.
I meant to send you the. Do you have it?
Yeah, I've got the PPs pulled up.
All right, I'm in the loading stages here, excuse me.
That's okay.
And they're all separate. I do know this. They're all separate owners in this race.
Okay. I think Klarovich is in there.
Yeah. Peter Brandt owns it in Italian.
Okay.
Fluffy Sox is owned by Heat of Palm.
Okay.
Heat of Palm. Hang on, let me look. Heat of Plains. Plains. Heat of Plains. Doesn't mean anything to me. Judmont owns the five. And Klarovich owns the three. And Cassie's got his is Tracy Farmer. I don't know. I mean, Cassie could scratch his horse and it'd be a...
All Chad Brown.
All Chad.
Yeah. I'll make my very brief comment on this race. I'm going to pass this race personally because I went with in Italian, the number two. But you'd probably be better suited to give an opinion, a wise opinion on this race and how to deal with this.
Oh,
I'm putting the pressure on you.
Yeah, right. let me get my notes up here. For some reason, I'm behind.
I've got our picks up there.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I mean, you got to do a cold exactly if you're going to do anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Italian with Cassie's horse is going to pay. You know, I don't think that's what's going to happen. But I would say it's a 2.5 or two. What did I say? Cassie's horse was three.
Yeah, Cassie's horse.
It's no one. One.
Yeah, the one.
I mean, Cassie's horse is a grade two winner in up in Woodbine. He comes from when he won the graded stakes, grade twos, he had an excellent closing kick. But I mean, in Italian is probably the best U.S. turf horse running right now. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, he's the fastest. There's no question about that. He's going to be out by himself. So unless somebody has a fantastic closing kick, there's no way to stop him. No one's going to run with him. Unless Cassie is a horse, which is not really. He did lead one time at a 47-1 half. And which, I mean, technically he could run as fast as in Italian. In Italian has run 47-1 and 48 his last two. So the Cassie horse could actually go eyeball to eyeball with him. I don't think he will, but it's possible.
And I guess the horse with the best closing kick is the outside horse, White Beam, Chad Brown, and Flavian Pratt.
Yeah. But, you know, you look at it and you say, well, okay, he's got the best close. But his close in the last two is just slightly more than in Italian.
Right.
So, in any event, that's right. Anybody with any smarts would pass the race.
And what happens if two horses are scratched out on today? Then we're really in trouble.
Right. If it pours and it goes off, it won't be run.
Right. Yeah, that's right. So they were saving the actual turf for tomorrow, I'm sure, if some of the big races there. But yeah, we're going to continue along moving. I believe we are going to go next to the Kelso, which is the ninth race. Is it the ninth or the eighth? I've got the slide, but
Kelso is the ninth.
Yeah, this is another one on the turf, and we're kind of in line on one of our picks. Let me get you set with that, and
I know I'm looking at it. I picked Casa Creed, but I changed it. My notes here, I originally had picked Casa Creed, but he's a 9-year-old, I think, 9 or 7-year-old. Hang on. Mm-hmm. He's a 7-year-old. And I just suspect he's lost a step. His last race was, he finished a length off third. I went with a little more of a price in the number six. This one was got speed. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's got Jose on, and I've given a big plus to his riding the turf. Again, he's a Cassie horse, so
yep.
Mark Cassie. So, this is a reach. He's a, he's grade two winner, but, is this a graded stakes?
Oh, yeah. It's a graded three.
Grade three. So yeah. This horse is a grade two. So certainly fits in the profile. And there's nothing wrong with Casa Creek. I just think his last few have been a little short of greatness. And, you get to an age where one step can mean the difference between winning and losing. Mm-hmm. And who do I have underneath is the
you got Big Everest, the number five, who I had as my top pick as well.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. Well, again, he's a speed horse, so we're now he's not a graded stakes winner at all, so he's got to step up. And so to remain the price there. The only thing I say the two things that you got to keep in mind and look at tomorrow. One is the two Annapolis, who's a horse for course there at Saratoga. And the five also has a win at Saratoga, although not graded. He won back on, where did he win? It's not on my card.
Okay. The number okay. five?
Yeah.
Well, it's coming in off of four victories.
Is it?
Well, yeah.
But all of them, none of them graded stakes. They're all
no, just
stakes races. But right. It looks like the biggest price was about $135,000 at Aqueduct. By the way, I wanted to bounce this off. I heard somebody say that horses that have done well at Aqueduct are better suited to Saratoga than okay. horses that have done well at Belmont and coming up.
I haven't heard that yet, but that'd be interesting to look into. Yeah.
Well, the reason being that...
Are you talking just the turf?
Am I talking just the turf? No, I think it's both, really. Okay. Because and the reason is that the configuration of Aqueduct is, and the surface, meaning the dirt, mm-hmm. is similar to Saratoga.
Okay.
I have nothing to back it up other than somebody's comment.
Right. Inside information.
Yeah. Way inside. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, I was looking actually for, you know, if I'm going to take some prices, the number one and the three, but I mean, they would really have to take giant steps up to compete with this group. But, you know, I like to throw a price in here and there, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm not advertising. Hey, look, I'm not, you know, one that has to step up is great.
Right.
As long as you get paid to take the risk. Yeah. You know, yesterday, taking the two, a first-time starter in a stakes race is taking a risk.
Right. Yeah.
But it was over 20 to 1. That makes sense.
You know? Yeah. I've never seen a trainer high-five the fans in the winner's circle like Gary Contessa. Never saw that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a good day.
Yeah, he's well liked. There's no question. Yeah.
Right, right.
Okay. So the next one is
The next one, the Sanford, the 10, which is a big puzzle, right? Do you have? How do you?
Well, it's a big puzzle behind the number 9.
Yeah.
Because I think the 9 is the horse to beat. I don't think there's any other horse that really, up to date, shown anything close to what that horse is. So,
I was walking to my car today, after the race, and I saw Steve Asmussen's barn, and he's way out in the boondocks. That's where I parked. So maybe he prefers to be out there.
Could be.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a Kentucky horse. I'm surprised they let him in the state.
Hey, I got this is off topic, but yesterday for the national anthem, there was a girl who sang really well for the national anthem.
I heard it. Yeah.
From Kentucky. And as I was in the backyard of the paddock area, two ladies walked by and one says to the other, says, "Can't they get somebody from New York State? They had to go out in Kentucky and get someone to sing the national anthem."
She works cheap.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, maybe so. But yeah, so how, you know, there's two races on the resume for Gold Sweep. For a race such as this, how much stock do you put in to be 3 to 5 on the morning line? When do you know this is a really sure or close to sure horse with only two races and that young?
Yeah, but both races improved speed figures. Mm-hmm. His last race, he won by 9 lengths, you know. Now, look at this age, any horse can step up and become all of a sudden become something of a improved horse. Now you look at your horse called the Calvary. Mm-hmm. He's got one start. So you're working off of one figure, not two. And neither of his figures, although they're not that far off.
Right.
He's a little bit slower than to date of Goldsweet. Goldsweet. Who knows? I mean, he's got IRAD, so he's IRAD's coming back.
Right. The last workout got a B rating. It wasn't fast time, but I guess for the day, got a B rating. It was from HTR.
Who?
HTR, okay. Yeah.
Hey, as I said, they're all capable of making a big, improvement. And I'm looking at the composite in one of the softwares I use, and they've got 9 on top, but the 5, the 3, the 10, and the 2 are all relatively close in their estimation, you know?
Okay.
Now, the two is a maiden, right? Oh, no. No, it's not.
No. Well, no, the 2 is a maiden.
Is it?
Yeah, D-Wayne.
It's got 1-for-1 according to this. Hang on. Let me...
Just Steel. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was jumping around. I was jumping around in the first race. That's my fault.
Jive. The 3 has got an excellent speed figure. Mm-hmm. At Gulfstream against Florida Gretzler. I don't know. I would say the 5. The only problem with the 5 is his figures ran a 2-furlong race back in May. I don't think that's a war front, though. And you had the 4. So.
Well, the 4, I mean, coming back from Parks and has an A-rated work. I was just looking to stir it up a little bit as maybe a surprise. That would be my horse, Yo-Yo Candy.
One of the things I've heard, and I've tested it the last couple of days, and it kind of, particularly with these young horses, horses that have worked continually at Saratoga, like Contessa's horse yesterday in the 8th race.
Right.
Seem to do much better than expected. And in this race,
the number 1 called the Cavalry.
Yeah, it's been there since June 23rd. Yeah. So it's got IRAD up there. That's your pick, right?
Yeah. Yeah, on the top, lukewarm.
I can see that. I can see that. Yeah.
Right.
And where is Goldsweep? Goldsweep has been, well, he has a work at Saratoga, but most of his work is done in Kentucky.
Right.
So.
I was talking with one of the railbirds at the training track, and he said the trainers, some of them prefer to race over at the Oklahoma. It's a bit deeper to help the horses. So yeah. I guess it depends. Yeah.
So that's what we were talking about today, that the track yesterday, not necessarily today, yesterday, was very deep in this stretch. You had to be fit to do well there. Plus the fact, if I'm not mistaken, there was a headwind in the stretch, okay? The interesting thing about this is that, now this is interesting. Asmussen on Gold Sweep, the favorite, starts the horse at 5 furlongs in Kentucky at Churchill, finishes the neck off the win, comes back and takes him to Belmont.
Okay.
On June 1. So he wanted it. You could see the plan was always Saratoga in this sense. And he's got to work at Saratoga. Good work. You know, so I don't know. It can go in any direction on this.
I was just thinking about yesterday's races. So there may be some bet backs, the horses who struggled on that first day, I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, the funny story of the day that I saw at Saratoga, the first race, in the backyard, you know, the horse won. This guy at the top of his lungs is screaming after the race saying, "Finally a race, won in New York, 1-35. He was 0-34. I mean, the horse won at 5-2. And the guy was like beyond, like Joe Sharp finally won a race in New York. It was crazy.
But it's interesting when you look at those trainer stats.
Yeah.
You can see I saw a stat which turned me off of the 7 in that stakes race yesterday.
Okay.
On the 7, Pletcher was 1-10, taking a 2-year-old that won its maiden and then running in stakes. And the thing that's, if he won, it'd be 2-11, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not the number necessarily, but it shows a trainer who normally does well. Now, you take that same record in stakes at a 3-year-old, and it's entirely different. Why? I have no idea.
Right.
But it does show that for some reason, he's not successful taking a maiden winner into a graded stakes at Saratoga. At least for him. He's such a high standard. Well, the other thing I noticed, they were all talking about yesterday how, you know, he's tied with Lucas for number of wins in that race over time. But he hadn't won since 2016.
Yeah.
So the last 5 runnings of that race, the last 6 runnings, he didn't win. Now make it 7.
Right.
You know, so just as they always say, liars figure. Figures don't lie, but liars figure.
Liars figure, yeah. You got that as a bumper sticker, right?
Absolutely. If I had a car, it would be on it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because you get the chauffeur comes and picks you up.
Oh, all the time. The limo.
Yeah, right. So we've got one stake over at the Jersey Shore, which is kind of getting. I guess every track right now gets second status for Saratoga at this point, but there's a 5.5 turf sprint, the Sparkler Stakes over Jersey. And something that I saw interesting, and I'm not sure if you picked this horse as well. You had this horse up as your value pick. The number 8, My Sweet Affair with George Weaver, bringing a horse who's been training down in up at Saratoga, down to the Jersey Shore. So
usually goes the other way. Yes.
Yeah. So tell us your read on this particular race, which should be pretty interesting.
I wish I had one.
Let me get the figs up here.
Yeah.
We've got
Hang on, let me pull up my.
There we go. We've got a Baserati, the number three, the ninth race, Blue Sparkler at Monmouth.
Did this horse get scratched today out of Saratoga, Baserati?
That I don't know. I'm not sure about that one.
It comes to mind.
Baserati.
The name sounds very familiar.
Okay, Brittany Russell, who has, I believe, entered some horses at Saratoga.
Yeah, I think she pulled him out of the race today.
Oh, okay. Possibly a good sign.
Hang on. Where's me?
You're watching Win at the Horses. Bill Kelly getting the PPs and his notes pulled up. Three Baserati.
I can't determine it yet, but
My Sweet Affair, the number eight. We both mentioned that horse. I would say of all the workout days I've gone to the training track, George Weaver was there practically every time there on his golf cart, and he seems really hands-on. And
is his wife there too?
I didn't see his wife. He was by himself. He looks all business, so I didn't really approach him for an interview or small chat. He looks like, hey, I'm here to work.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I guess, a lot of them, that's their business time. You're right. Baserati scratched today in the stakes over at the ninth race. Yeah, the ninth race, the stake. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Her other horse. Yeah. Her other horse, as a matter of fact, it's being run right now.
Oh, okay.
This horse. I'm not sure why it was scratched, other than the fact that her horse today, this number nine L Street lady, is the favorite, and it's closing. Let's see how it does. Not going to dip there. The seven.
The seven. Okay, race number nine.
Yeah.
Okay.
7-3-9.
We're gonna have you call an entire race one day to this summer while we're on the air.
Great. I can hardly wait.
Yeah,
I don't think we're allowed to do that, by the way. Well, maybe we are.
You know, people definitely get away with putting the stuff up. I'm sure they're not paying for the rights to air this during their podcast. So I'm playing by the rules. I always play by the rules because, I don't want YouTube shutting us down for something like that. So, yeah. But I know.
I guess you can comment on the race. You just can't show it.
Yeah. But people still show it for some
reason. Do they? Well, I think they pay for it. They pay for the race. I don't know. I shouldn't say that. I don't know.
Yeah. We're not going to call anybody out because.
No.
Nah. We're all friends.
That was a Tom Morley horse.
Oh, who won? Never yeah. Won. Yeah, I saw him as I was walking in today, the track. He was on his golf cart.
Always a good sign.
Yeah, that's it. You got to be on the golf cart, on the cell phone, calling the owner or whatever.
Well, Castellano's got another win, so.
Yeah. So who's in the lead right now? Is it pretty even for probably two or three for each guy?
Yeah, because Irad's won today too, I think.
Right. Interesting that the George Weaver horse, number eight at the Sparkler Stakes, Eric Consell rides. He's down there. I think he's coming back from an injury, right? Consell or
Yeah.
I thought he was banged up a little bit.
Let's see. Dylan Davis has a win. Kendrick's got two.
And his daughter, I saw, is working at the track. Oh, yeah, really? She was in the winner's circle with him. He's a good guy.
Santana's got one.
Okay.
The Ira's got one. Jose's got one. Ira's got two. And Sias has got one.
So
far. We got another race to go, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, before we wrap this up, I wanted to give a little plug to your guy, Mr. Rich Eng, who's in town from Las Vegas, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Well, right now he's from Vegas. He's actually from, if I'm not mistaken, he grew up in Connecticut.
Yeah, Stanford. I heard him talk about that before. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's got betting horse racing for dummies. His second
betting horses for dummies. Yeah.
Yeah. The second edition. I've got the first one, and we're gonna go there. It's nine in the morning to 11. I guess he's gonna probably in the beginning do his signings and everything and get the book, and then he'll do a handicapping session at 10. This is all Eastern time up at Saratoga, right across from the actual track.
At the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, the National Horse Racing Hall of Fame. They just put up another statue with two horses in the front that was donated by Churchill Downs from Arlington Park because they closed down. So now
they put it in the front.
Yeah. but there was a story. this was something. I read in the paper there, I guess it was like a 10 to 20 year investigation that some guys went into the National Horse Racing Hall of Fame and were stealing like hugely valuable items. They got caught like 10 to 15 years later. And these were worth millions of dollars. So.
And it came from CDI? Is that what it means?
No. But anyways, yeah, it was kind of a weird story. But yeah, I'm looking forward to going there, and I'm gonna, name drop you when I see Rich Eng.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Sure. He'll probably remember me. I've had conversations when I was in Hong Kong one time. We were texting back and forth, and he said, "Bring me back some Chinese dish."
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So we have we have had communication once or twice.
Right.
He's a nice guy. I used to take his service, but I've gotten out. I don't bet the California races much anymore. I mean, the field sizes are too small. They're dominated by Baffert. You can't make money that way. So.
Yeah. But he's a really good handicapper and seems like a nice guy. Yeah.
I first ran, noticed him when he was the Brad Thomas of Monmouth. He was doing that part.
Oh, yeah.
So he's an excellent handicapper.
Do you want me to send you some donuts or pastries back from the
absolutely along with a book?
Yeah, that's right. Get the book. If I send you the donuts and no book, I'm in trouble.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess my plan, I'm going to go there for the first hour and get it signed, and I'm going to come back home and go for the later part of the races instead of the first part.
The early part.
Yeah. So switch it up.
Well, that depends on the card is funny. Yes. I mean, there are really only, three stakes to one?
Three stakes.
The fourth, the ninth, and the tenth.
Right.
And the fourth fourth should be an exhibition, not a betting race.
Right.
The And I'm sure most bettors, certainly professional bettors, would treat it that way. Mm-hmm. I would say that in Italian would be a single on any multi-race bet.
Right.
But you're not going to make any money that way. You know? I mean, you make more money than you bet, but it's not going to cover all the losses that we incur.
Yeah. So, Chad Brown dominates. And watch, if Mark Cassie wins, that'll be something. But, yeah.
Mark Cassie wins, you get a story.
Yeah. So, everybody, we want to thank you for tuning in and checking us out. And hopefully we gave you some tidbits of great information. If not, we'll try better next week.
Yeah, we'll do better next week.
That's right, yeah. But so far, so good.
The real handicappers.
That's right, not the impersonators. Yeah. So thanks, Dad, and we're going to do this next week as the meet just keeps on getting better and better, and, you know, Del Mar will be in fine form soon.
Yeah, hopefully the rain stays away and we can have a day without. I mean, the first day had 24 cancellations or scratches. Today had 38.
It was deflating when walking in there. And even I think Frank Miramati said, we've got a lot of scratches and no show. When you see no show betting, no trifecta, you said, uh-oh, we're screwed.
I mean, I'm looking at the 10th race, which originally listed 16 horses. It's down to 5.
Wow.
So, you know.
And Naira's got to make good face and still, I mean, they got a show to put on, so.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. They've got Fox, too, so.
Yeah, that's right. So maybe just
gotta keep it going.
Yeah, just a little small bump in the road and back to some good racing tomorrow.
Well, I mean, this is traditional at Saratoga. I mean, the weather is very unpredictable.
Yeah, right now I'm looking out the window. We're 5 miles away, and we got some clouds in the sky. So,
yeah, well, it's been cloudy all day, and there is a forecast of some thunder showers. Even in the city, I saw an alert a little while ago that the Met game could be delayed.
Oh, okay.
Starting,
right?
Because they weren't sure because, well, like any thunderstorms, I heard a comment this morning about, in Saratoga, you can rain on one side of the street and not rain on the other.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
But this.
Well, look at you. Have a great day.
Yeah. It's been great talking with you, and hopefully our viewers, Doug, what we were talking about, we'll see you next week, everybody. See you in the winner's circle. Thanks, Dad.
We'll see you.
Okay.
Good luck to all.
Thank you.